$500 in 6 months. We'll answer aye as the names are called.
Judge Burns.
Make it Class B.
Aye.
Sandra Burns.
No.
Frost.
Aye.
Hawes.
Aye.
Dernsdale.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Knight.
No.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, I move we delete Section 8. I say it remembering how artfully and persuasively I carried this on the floor in 1967.
Section 8.
Oh, 8, yes, second. Hallelujah.
I thought you said Section 8.
I don't know, it's not much worse than some of the other stuff.
No worse than the copper wire.
It's only different.
Well. I know what you're gonna say.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe what Senator Burns wants to do is to substitute a failure to maintain a hay purchase record statute.
Oh no, we don't have one of those.
Question!
Question is in call for. Call roll.
Judge Burns.
Aye.
Sandra Burns.
Aye.
Frost.
Aye.
Hawes.
Aye.
Dernsdale.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Knight.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Emphatically, no. Carry. Be sure the minutes reflect the vote on that.
I'd like to change my vote to aye.
Here, Roger.
Section 9, misrepresentation of age by a minor. Restates 165.605.
Well, Roger, Mr. Chairman, in a previous minor statute, Bruce Balling pointed out that it wasn't quite accurate to say being less than 20 years, 1 year of age, and he inserted in there, or unmarried or something, remember? If being less than 21 years of age and unmarried, you know, in there, so, wouldn't that be more accurate? Then where do we get to the girl?
How about the
married at under 21 and going to represent himself as being 21 years old and not the statute?
Well, you're assuming that Go 19 is going to fail in the face of Portland State.
I don't think Portland State will fail. I think I'm moving to Ashland.
Wagon tire.
Not with that university status.
Gonna move it to Hillsboro.
I think this is a good thing. Statute. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt Section 9 and make it a Class C misdemeanor.
Second.
Thank you
for telling me today.
Any further? Is there a call for a question?
Question.
Call roll.
Aye.
Judge Burns.
Aye.
Sandra Burns.
Aye.
Frost.
Aye.
Hawes.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Knight.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
This sounds to me like an instant rerun of Salishan Johnson over here.
Mr. Chairman, now Section 10, as I indicated earlier, the commission has already approved the substance of it. The staff was directed to draft a or to take the section which had been drafted actually for offenses against the family and cover it elsewhere. So that part of it's already been determined. You did want this specific statute.
What do you have? A Class A misdemeanor?
Class A misdemeanor.
I think it should be a Class C felony.
This thing should be?
Mm-hmm.
Carries a year now, is the maximum.
Well,
oh, excuse me.
Now
no,
1 year in the penitentiary, or 1 year in the county jail.
Yeah, this is one of these weird statutes that provides for a year in the penitentiary.
Conceals the birth of the newborn child. TIF conceals the fact of the birth.
What did you say, Mr. Johnson? I'm sorry.
Conceals the birth read a section.
Oh.
Mr. Chairman, I move we make it a Class A misdemeanor.
Do we have to adopt this? Seems to me that we left the adoption of it also to be acted upon.
Well, no, you have adopted the section already.
It's just to classify it.
Just to classify it and place it in the structure of...
What was your motion, Judge Burns? Class A misdemeanor?
Adopt and make Class A misdemeanor. And may I be recorded as voting yes?
Yes. Discussion?
Well, I think it should be Class C felony, but...
Class C felony is one that can be treated either at the 5 years or the misdemeanor.
Call the roll.
Judge Burns, Sandra Burns?
No.
Frost? Haas?
Aye.
Drinker?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Knight?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Now, we have a number of existing statutes that we have not picked up in this draft, being on page 15 with staff recommendation on them.
We have to vote on each one.
Well, no, I don't suppose you do. Since they're not, we don't have a section in the draft to pick these up. Some of these, however, have been picked up elsewhere in our code, and we try to indicate, and we made some recommendations that these should be transferred to other parts of Oregon revised statutes.
Does this one, 162.560 on maintenance of a privately operated police force, does that relate to people that store guns in haystacks? Or do you know?
I suppose it could.
What about that, Dave?
I would like to point out, during that subject, however, the maintenance of a privately operated police force, I think, has some reason. The reason is that in some counties there are protective associations formed which dress like policemen, act like policemen, and in a couple of cases in Washington County have actively been committing crimes
like
under the guise of being policemen. And this is the method by which they now have disbanded at least one group of people of this kind.
This particular statute? Mm-hmm.
This was amended, as I recall, in 69 or 67. Right?
You've got a group up on Skyline in Washington County, a vigilante group, yeah, that are to say that your department sheriff isn't providing protection, and so they're...
Well, somebody must have thought it was serious. They have a fine of not less than $1,000 or $5,000, and likes them for each day violation is continued.
What they probably found was that they had a number of people working for this particular association with felony records in some cases were convictions. There's no screening or anything.
Don, what were your reasons for recommending repeal again, please?
Well, we have a statute we proposed against criminal impersonation. Impersonating a police officer.
Right. Yeah, but this is your private army.
Well, you know what I suggest? I'll support the repeal of it and ask the staff to send a copy of this together with a copy of the impersonation statute to Holly Holcomb, and to the Chiefs of Police and to the Sheriff's Association, and solicit comments. And if they feel that the criminal impersonation statute doesn't cover it, then when we have our bill printed up, we can always put it back in.
I'm wondering about the time. Don, would that work?
Yes, we can do that, certainly.
Could I raise it? I'd like to have some of you mild to get together with Don. I've been related to these campus disorders as to where we've got presently. We do not have sufficient state laws to handle some of these problems that have to go under ordinances.
Well, certainly you're perfectly free to do that anytime you see fit.
Well, I think it is a matter of course.
Why don't you go ahead and do that? Well, what do you want to do with this? You don't want to repeal it, and then in the event, and then you probably won't have a meeting. We will, though, I guess.
We'll have meetings in the fall.
This is the printing.
Yeah, this is for our final draft, and we'll be free to make changes if the board goes into bill form.
Who made the motion to repeal this? You did?
Yeah. What I was going to say, Mr. Chairman, was I think it's unnecessary to vote on every doggone one of these, as I've been going through them again, and it seems to me, and I'm pretty much in agreement with the recommendation of the staff, and I would propose that we let everybody go through right now and discuss the ones that anybody has any question about, and then make a heart blank motion on the balance.
Well, let's have a 10-minute recess then.
And repeal.
Glance over this. Okay. Yeah.
I would move that we restore the approval water we have.
Now, that's on page...
That's on the first page.
Or no, page 17.
Well, we go page by page.
On page 15, is there any objection to the recommendation?
I think as far as the maintenance department, the office is correct. At least subject to checking it out with state police and county sheriff's association.
All right. Let's take no action on that until you've done that.
Well...
And if it is covered in the impersonation...
Well, this won't, now, if we do it this way, this won't appear as a section in our final draft. But it could appear if you later want to insert it in the bill that we give the legislature. But the action today, we would not have time to get the information in and restore it into our final draft.
Subject to check.
Okay. Page 16. Apparently no objection. 17.
I'd like to keep 162.740.
That's I would too.
See what you did, George.
But I think it should be a Class C felony.
Yeah, Class C felony or Class A misdemeanor.
Is that a motion?
Before you vote, Mr. Chairman, could I ask, would you feel that placing it in our article on riot related offenses would be logical?
I do.
What is the proposal, Mr. Chairman?
To retain this, but to reduce it to a Class C felony. I just saw Tom O'Dell out there and told me you were just littering. No, I didn't. Is that a motion,
yes.
Representative Frost? The motion is that we retain 162.740 but reduce to a Class C felony. Mm-hmm. Professor Platt.
I suppose, I see this every day now, but I think I hope that you're really kidding about keeping this. It ought not to be kept in our statutes. It's rather clearly a First Amendment violation if you do. And if you keep it, if you retain this in the statute, all it's going to do is make poor President Clark's job just that much harder, because it will just add another non-negotiable demand to the 100 wild men who are operating on our campus to repeal this particular section. Because every time the legislature does something they don't like, they take it out on poor Bob Clark.
Has this come to their attention, the existing law now?
No, sure it has not. I didn't know about it. I didn't notice it. I think it'd be a clear violation of freedom of speech, because there's nothing necessarily producing violence from this that wouldn't be covered in the riot statutes that we now have. I suppose it could be used in a manner to cause a riot or incite a riot, but I don't think that's the issue here.
Well, proof would have to be that it's done for the purpose of manifesting disloyalty to the government of the United States or a belief in anarchy and so on.
Who's that? I hate people that are that way, but I still think that's one of our rights.
I think under the decision in it's either, well, Barnett versus Board of Education, I guess it is, it's a flag salute case. In the first flag salute case, they upheld it, and then about a year later, they reversed. And this was a court proposed with Stone, Jackson, and Rutledge, Reed, Black, Douglas, and I forget who else. I'm satisfied in those cases that that statute, portions of it, would not stand.
John, I would make another point.
Today, Representative Frost.
Silver Tongue Devil, who I run again, another problem. He is right, obviously. Emotionally unlike.
General Johnson.
Well, I would also say that one of the things that we've been trying to do is working in this area.
I still think we should retain it.
I think
somebody make a motion to accept the recommendation of the staff.
I so moved.
Heard the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
No. How about the next one, libel and slander?
I'm over to keep it.
Did we keep it? You sure it isn't a violation of some Bill of Rights or some part of the American Constitution?
Huh? In this case, it's different.
Well, that's freedom of speech. Why should you put a criminal sanction on their constitutional rights under the First Amendment?
Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Chairman, I don't think there's any cases which specifically speak to the question of the constitutionality of criminal libel statutes since the New York Times. I'm not aware. Are you aware of any, George?
I think there have
been. We did have a case, I think it was out of Baker County, where a guy was convicted of this not too long ago, perhaps about 4 or 5 years ago.
61. That's the last report.
You got a judicial race up in your county.
As I recall, it was out of Baker County.
Dara's going to win.
Oh, yeah. V1-8. Olivani County Attorney.
It was a criminal. It was criminal libel.
Yes, I believe so.
I believe so. Libel under the election.
I forget who the name of the defendant now in that case, but that was following the race between Sweetland and Apple.
That's right.
In 1960.
Conservative bookstore.
Well, there were five defendants. Well, yeah, there were several defendants.
Well, it seems to me the same limitation would apply here. It would apply to civil libel. Likewise, the same area of what's permissible under the First Amendment. I think we need the section. Well, I think there are some people who can be liable who don't have the means
to pursue a civil remedy?
Or who wouldn't be responsive to a judgment.
Yeah. And for that reason, I'm trying to recall, I was in Stanford, California, by the promise.
somebody who'd liable to keep them.
No, this was more than that, but it was a, this was some outfit that was with one of these scandal magazine operations.
And we had a reclamation that pleasure.
Well, what is your pleasure? The motion was what?
To retain 163.2.
To retain it.
It might, maybe should be, well, it should be rewritten.
Can we vote to keep 740?
Only first vote to see if we retain it or not.
Voted to kick it out.
All right, you ready for the question?
God, you are liberal.
Call the roll.
The question is really is whether to retain the concept of criminal liability.
Call the roll.
Judge Burns?
No.
Sanderburn?
Aye.
Frost?
No.
Hawes?
Aye.
Jernstead?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Knight?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Carried.
Carried. Now, Representative Frost, how, or Johnson rather, how should it be changed, in your opinion?
Well, one of the fine questions out of it.
Make it Class A misdemeanor? Class A felon.
I think it's Class A misdemeanor, though.
I so move.
Second.
That would be
1 year.
1 year maximum.
Yeah, 1 year maximum.
But it should be.
We've got to change our culpability words.
Yeah.
I got a question. Is making a Class A misdemeanor, it's going to be tough enough to get a DA to file one of these libel things. When you make it a Class A misdemeanor, when you're going to have to, it's going to be a complicated trial and you're going to have to try it twice.
Why?
That is, assuming you win the first time, you Class A misdemeanor, you go into district court.
Oh no, you can indict him on a Class A misdemeanor and go into circuit court.
You could take him to circuit initially.
Yeah, there's been a ruling down in Lynn County that
it's only in Multnomah County that they do it two or three times.
Appeal that they has a right to the two trials. So take it back to district court and start out there.
Right.
Well, I
don't see that.
We're going to change that anyway.
Is there a motion? I move that
yes,
I was redrafted and it be classified as a Class A misdemeanor.
You, well, that's you second.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
So you Judge Byrne second. Call roll.
Judge Burns?
Aye.
Sanderburn?
Aye.
Frost?
Aye.
Hawes?
Aye.
Jernstead?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Knight?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
You think it should be a Class C felony?
Yeah.
Anything on page 18?
I see Dave Barrows is interested in that one down at the bottom of the page.
So the bank is.
Steelhammer is interested in that.
Surely the banks have adequate silver.
I don't know, they don't have any money. Have you talked to any farmers lately?
Anything on page 19?
Just for the conversation, how about the first section of the permission paper? That happened down here in Marion County years ago when I was arrested. In the local papers, I recall, I think this is one of the law school friends. She had never been convicted of anything, she'd been arrested and booked. Published that type of picture, clearly importing that she was a criminal. At another time, in that case, I would hate to think that I could be have been arrested and acquitted, but in the process of the arrest and been booked, and those mug photos taken of. And then to be arrested a second time, say some years later, and then to have the press publish an account of my arrest together with this picture, clearly identifiable that I was a convict or a criminal,
I don't think money damages.
If you hadn't been a criminal though, and you weren't, wouldn't it be, if we're gonna retain criminal liable, wouldn't it be covered there? Would you need a special statute for ex-cons and that sort of thing?
Does libel cover? It's all right to picture an ex-con.
Right.
This is a person who's not. And does libel cover a picture?
It does.
Yeah?
Sure.
We had a, about 10 years ago, we were defending a personal injury case, and the Farmers, was the insurance company we were representing, and about 10 days before the trial, a great big billboard appeared about 6 miles out of town. Farmers Insurance Group is a bunch of crooks. The plaintiff had had it there. We settled the case.
I tried a case when I was with the Black firm, where the Oregonian had run a picture of a man in connection with the story of a murder-suicide event where the guy and his girlfriend decided that was the best way out, so their bodies were found in the house, and the enterprising reporter picked up a picture of what he thought was a male decedent and ran it in the paper. The only trouble was the guy in the picture was the operator of a tavern on Southeast 82nd, which was frequented by these people. It showed him with his arm around the female decedent. So they sued the hell out of the Oregonian for libel. You can.
Well, what if you publish the picture, though, without commentary? There you can commentary.
Well, so long as a libelous imputation may fairly be drawn from the circumstances in which the picture is published, it's capable of being subject to libel. Like the one where the guy was in a camel ad. There's a number of cases. I think the others. As long as you're going to retain criminal libel, I think this is on.
I do too. Is there any further discussion on page 18 now? Insurance, paternal, banks, trust, savings, and loan association. Not page 19, that's what you were talking about. 63460.
What is the page?
19. Very difficult to find. Upper left-hand corner, red ink, large letters.
What is that?
Page 20.
It's pretty scary.
God, you don't look.
That's known as an administration nerve gas.
Page 21.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Isn't it inconsistent to leave 164 on page 20? 164, 362, when you have in fact just withdrawn the transportation pay from the crime.
Well,
it's actually the same kind of crime. In fact, it's right next to it in the statute. Yeah,
I voted no on the other one.
So did I.
This is fairly special legislation that you thought we're trying to avoid.
I just want to see where the O&C boys are.
Well, they drafted the hay bill on the coniferous Christmas tree bill, George, but the testimony and all the evidence is that there's a hell of a lot more problem, particularly in the metropolitan area, with Christmas tree pirates than there are with hay pirates.
It's only a matter of degree.
Well, you don't have trees up in your part of the country.
No, but we have hay. You don't have hay.
That's right.
Is there a big market for hot hay?
You bet there is.
It is on a cold day.
The only danger is getting moldy.
Well, George, why in the hell did you have... I don't care. This.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we repeal the... matters on pages 20 and 21 rather than transferring.
Is there a second? We don't need a second under our rules.
No, you don't, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion, I agree.
This really isn't a problem.
I'll tell you, the poor...
And hay isn't?
Yeah, hay isn't.
Hell, it isn't.
Well, they do put hay in the mangers.
Well, they have these, they've got evergreens right near mangers, too, at Christmas time.
They've got a few dogs in the manger, too, don't they?
What's your pleasure? Do you want to vote?
I'm going to postpone it indefinitely.
The question is on repeal rather than transfer. Call the roll.
Ted Burns?
Aye.
Sunderburn?
No.
Frost?
No.
Hawes?
Aye.
Jernstedt?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Knight?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. Defeated. Consistency, thou art a jewel.
Four.
Four, no, it's
oh.
5-3.
So we'll keep up. So it's
four and four.
The motion to repeal has been defeated.
Chairman, you're now on page 26.
I assume then that means we follow the recommendation.
Yep, follow the recommendation. Page
22. Just the
and how about the hay?
I say 22 is okay.
Well, I'm just operating a hand car, literally.
Heinous.
That should come in effect to service.
That's treason.
Make it
Page 23. That's already covered.
Yep.
24.
Anybody unlawfully trying to ride on a train. That's what they arrested those guys down at the University of Oregon for the other day.
Yeah, Stan Love and Ontario Boyd Christensen and Anthem. Page 25. All right, how about it?
24. Radio reception.
How about attempting to poison domestic animals?
Tony, have you looked at 154.740, attention to powers of poison?
I have that marked, but I don't know. I haven't read it yet.
You keep it out for the purpose of milking it for 2 hours in front of it.
Yeah, I know.
Baking and using.
You know, anybody that's willing to milk a cow nowadays should get rewarded, not punished.
No, I think it is. It's covered by criminal mischief. All the
well, it's covered under perjury. False evidence.
Did you say the cow? Did you say the cow?
Oh.
Did you say the cow? Did you say the cow was covered? That's enough for that. Huh? Did you say the cow was covered? Yeah, I was covered. How about attempting to poison domestic animals? Is that covered anywhere else?
In court crime.
What is it? You mean
in court crime?
Yeah, it's murder.
Attempt to do what?
Attempt to commit a cruel act on an animal.
What if it's successful?
Then it's cruelty to animals.
It's covered.
Sure, it's covered.
Is it covered?
Sure.
All
right. Do you suggest to someone else that you do that as solicitation?
All right. You're right. Your favorite friend.
Yeah, the western part of the state. 26. Okay. 27. Substituting is covered in the kidnapping article?
Yes.
Use of dramatic or musical composition without consent.
Yes.
You think that should be repealed?
Yes. Adequate civil remedy. Page 28. Tampering with brand. Oh, you want to transfer it. That's all.
Well, I
you're not going to make it. You're going to transfer the one where you're tampering with pedigrees, right?
Yeah. Page 29.
Yeah, they got rid of adultery, but not...
What kind is this? Adultery with gold?
It's the only kind.
Okay, page 30.
That's what Tracy Anthony said.
Breaking and disposing of keys.
I think maybe I'll send this one over tonight, see what he says.
31.
32.
Well, what? Well, how come you're going to do this?
Which one?
240.
Well, the only part of that statute that would repeal would be subsection 1. The other part of it would be covered under the Constitution article. But we would be repealing, making it a crime for a minor to visit a house of prostitution. And we decided that in our defense against the family.
You decide they need the experience.
Why are we repealing 157-250? We already repealed that, as a matter of fact, once before.
Why did you bring it up again?
I don't know. We should have done it.
Page 32!
I've already retained 157-250.
You and Tony Curtis.
Question. Why do you, why?
Oh, it's Georgia symbolic statue.
Shouldn't be seen place for it.
Well, I know that's what you said. I like the symbolic statue. I think it's a good idea in the sign of the definition of unlawful visitation.
I think it is true.
I think I can buy that.
I think
this is
the same. What not to be doing is trivializing the nature of criminal sanctions, because nobody is going to enforce this law.
I don't think that anybody here at the table suggests that there is an enforcement that would ever be enforced.
Well, that well, is
purely symbolic, and that you ought not to engage in symbolic legislation.
If it's... Sam, isn't there a demonstration that jurors can go through some place?
If the district attorneys of this state, with the exception of one, don't have the guts to enforce these statutes, not our fault, George. I mean, I'm sure it's enforced in Marion County.
Well, I would venture to say that there's actually a number of cases of treatment.
Did I read this correctly? The only place that
nothing much happens
when a person under the age of 18 walks in and is looking around for something to buy, and they happen to be smoking a cigarette, and you're crying if you're off the shop.
Bad stance.
Prevents any minor under the age of 18 to free themselves.
We've already got it. We've retained a statute prohibiting the sale of tobacco. We have retained that already, and the commission voted at that time not to prohibit, the sale.
Not fair to reconsider the question.
Well, this is
a different
statute.
Smoking in public.
Chairman, I move that
there's already a motion.
Ross's motion is out of order.
He left. This one we're going to vote.
He didn't want to be embarrassed.
Call the roll. The motion is to retain 167-250.
Judge Byrne?
No.
Sandra Byrne?
Art Scrooge.
Your motion.
How do you vote?
I got a conflict interest.
Aye.
No.
Drinkstead?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Knight?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
I vote no.
Motion carries.
Carson?
The motion is to retain rather than repeal 167-250 on page 31.
No.
Vote no.
I do. Think about it, Wallace.
The motion has failed. It will be retained. Page
32.
It will be
repealed.
What is this, Mahoney?
It'll be I'm going to tell. Page 32. The exhibiting person in trance.
You don't have to go very far to do it because you can get back.
Sure you. Page 33. Recommendation accepted.
I move, Mr. Chairman, that we accept the recommendations of the staff with respect to what we just gone over, except for those
that we've changed.
Yeah.
The recommendations have been changed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And all carried.
Classes of offenses,
rating. Mr. Chairman, now before we get to that, would you like me to make an announcement about lunch?
Oh, yes. We're going to go to the tree for lunch.
There is a regular monthly meeting today of the Marion County Bar Association at the Marion Hotel. And they're having the speaker will be Gracie Hansen. And it's being held in the ballroom of the Marion Hotel. And I've checked with Dick Barber, who's the president of our association, and told him that I would bring this up with the chairman to see if members of the commission would care to have lunch there today. And he said it was fine. And they'd be glad to have us if we want to have lunch there.
Pleasure. Well, Don, why don't we leave it? Those who want to go may bear in mind when we adjourn the time that we reconvene. Okay? All right, classes of offenses.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. We have three basic articles, Article 7, 8, 9, dealing with Article 7, classes of offenses, which consists really of nine sections of definitions, which we define different terms that are necessary to the structure of our proposed code. We have begun with Section 1, the basic definition of an offense, which would include crimes and violations. Of course, the distinction between the crime and the violation is that for a crime, offense, a punishment of imprisonment is authorized. Crime is then further classified as a felony or a misdemeanor. Yes.
Gracie,
yes.
As
being a
yeah. Away from the quasi-criminal.
Well, it's an offense.
Rest of that labor press.
And would be a crime if
you got it.
Carried in prison.
And that's in the city jail or
yes.
So that's for impeachment purposes.
That's all it was.
But the effect of a crime is no longer with a differentiate between municipal violation and ordinance.
No, not unless you wanted to otherwise limit that someplace else in the code under your witnesses or evidence.
We are then granting to a political arm of the state the power to create a crime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that a good theory?
No, I'm against it.
Well, that's the best to get what's going
on. I'm sure.
Oh, but that only just
We give a municipality, under the draft adopted by the subcommittee, we give a municipality the right to make a crime, to create a crime. And up to now, city ordinance violations don't rise to the dignity of crime. They're not possible for peaceful purposes in civil cases, criminal cases.
We're just talking about evidence.
That's right. Well, it's an evidentiary thing, but I think it has pretty serious ramifications.
You know, I mistrust the legislature enough. Creating crimes without worrying about every city council and board of county commissioners who can hold their own power. Well, what's the difference between going to jail for a year or 6 months for driving under the influence in Salem, if it did give that kind of, and going to city jail for 6 months, whether you call it a crime or an offense? What, other than for impeachment purposes, what's the difference?
Well, if they had that, it's just to
number one is to require that a municipality can't pass no acts which are imprisonment, and then have them adopt their statutes and have them meet. My complaint is I don't want them creating crimes, and this is what we're giving the power to do.
Well,
they have the power to
do it today.
They're not crimes, though.
Only in the eyes of a lawyer, everybody else considers it a crime. But only time that it isn't a crime is when you're impeaching them on something else. For all other practical purposes, it's crime.
The minutes of this subcommittee contain a rather elaborate discussion. Seems to me that if you're bothered by the fact that the city can do something which later makes the conduct the subject of an impeaching question, then the solution to that is to revise the evidence code.
Agreed. But I go over that. However, I don't like the concept of giving the city the power to create a crime.
Well, right now the city has power to say if you do this, we'll put you in jail, and to say that's not a crime is a little bit of a misnomer. The guy's in jail just as much as if he was convicted under state statute. 6 months in the city jail. To say that isn't a crime is really kind of strange.
Agreed. I don't like the idea of giving every county commissioner in the state of the home rule county or every city councilman the right to create a crime.
How are they going to administer some of the laws that they do pass that are legitimate?
Well,
the nature of an administrative crime.
Well, if we don't make a crime, we're taking away from them the power to impose a jail sentence for certain types of conduct.
Well, George?
I realize that perhaps goes farther than you want to go, but I think that's precisely what this commission ought to do. It ought to preempt the criminal law field from cities. Now, this doesn't leave them naked. Number one, it leaves them with a well-defined set of crimes, which you have developed painfully over the last 2 years. And number two, their police, in other words, can arrest and prosecute through the state courts for these crimes.
Through the JP courts.
Number two, leave cities with the power to fine without having to impose on cities Stevenson versus Holdsman rights or any criminal due process rights. I think there's a tremendous advantage for preempting by the state of all ability of cities to impose any kind of loss of liberty sanction.
Well, all of the training that they're getting will be of no use. They all carry Miranda cards. They go to police school. They're being trained on warnings and everything else.
Well, that's for state offenses.
For state offenses.
You don't see that in municipal courts, except in very rare cases, Senator.
Well, they certainly raise those questions in drunken driving and everything else in municipal courts.
Yeah, you do see
it's
them.
The same as they do any other place.
The rare cases are those that are very serious, like the DUI.
Those aren't rare, George. They're in all of them. But they're state crimes, and they can still prosecute them.
We're talking about practice and what actually happens then when you get to court. People just don't get crimes. They don't take crimes in city courts. You usually plead guilty in 99% of the cases.
Well, even in a small town like I live, there's trial every day with a jury in the municipal court.
Well, why do you need that? Why should we have city judges trying criminal cases? Why shouldn't they be tried in the proper court where you have well-trained judges and well-trained counsel?
Well, you're coming to the unification of court system argument, which isn't in this area, and on which there's a great deal to be said.
Well, my objection, I kind of sense what the commission is going to do, like the judge, there is a good discussion in pages 3 through 6 of the subcommittee minutes. My objection to this is twofold. One, on the impeachment, and granted perhaps we can reach a solution to that through our approach to the evidence code, but the second thing is the thing of what I think Dave Frost, what both Dave and George are saying, and that is that we've struggled painfully over a period of what will be 4 years to draft what we call the criminal code. I think that when we talk about the criminal code and crimes, it should be on a higher level than some municipal ordinance action. And if we preempt the field and let the municipalities go ahead and enact violations. This doesn't prevent a guy from being prosecuted either in a district court or a JP court for a state crime, but it protects the people against some municipality going off and without real consideration passing some ordinance that they call a crime. I just,
John, you have JPs who are just as inaccessible in many instances as circuit courts are. We have one in Nyssa, Vail, in Ontario today. Two of them are in the hospital and have been for 3 weeks.
Well,
and so the other one's overloaded. You're going to carry some dinky little state offense over for 3 or 4 weeks?
Oh, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that bad, Tony.
The thing that concerns me, Mr. Chairman, we had a bill that I remember John had a hand in
killing.
That now goes along his argument. The cities won't adopt state law. One, because they can't do it. Because if they do, they have to bring in the district attorney on traffic matters. So they set their own system, which is paramount. Now, they've got to have this authority. I disagree. I think it's negative. The ordinance, for instance, in traffic laws, now you can say that's a violation of offense or not, but the guy that goes to the slammer and they say he's not going to really worry about whether he's going to be impeached some trial later, he's going to jail. Though he's going to jail on city ordinances, not on state law. He's going to jail on city ordinances. Because if they cite him on state law, you've got to have a district attorney in front of him. So I think you're already going to make it if you take away this.
That may be a step that should be taken eventually when, if we do have unification of the court system. But I think at this stage of the our development in criminal procedure and law, that this is the only rational direction we can take.
You're going the opposite direction. You're giving them more power. You're giving them power to create crime.
That's right. You're giving them more power than they have now.
Well, I don't think we're giving them any power to create crimes. We're just classifying what they are. I mean, what they're doing already.
Which says that they can create crime.
No, it doesn't. They're doing this now. It's just, I mean, to say it's a quasi-criminal offense, I think that's...
You mean to say that they're not doing this now?
Jail, I don't... Not crime.
They can't.
Because only the state can prescribe crime. Only the legislature.
Well, nevertheless, they do for a particular given type of conduct.
Criminal conduct.
That's right.
But they are not.
And except for impeachment purposes, what is your objection?
The objection is we should not give them the power to create a crime.
You have a questionnaire for civil service exam. Have you ever been convicted of a crime? No, you can honestly say. But if this passes and you get convicted of a stupid municipal ordinance violation, you have to say yes, convicted of a crime.
Well, I think that's important to know. The guy say, no state cops arrested me, it's all been city cops. So I'm not a criminal.
Dog's running at large.
All right, suppose he puts it down. What are they going to do about it? Think the civil service is going to turn him down?
Now we're bringing in the other hand.
Remember that if he's convicted of a municipal ordinance and which carries only a fine, he would not be convicted of a crime under our Form Act. He would be convicted of a violation, not a crime. It's an offense, but it's not a crime because it doesn't carry a prison.
Have we discussed it adequately? You same argument you made in the Salishan? All right.
You just voted to repeal the smoking in public by young people. All right, tomorrow, the city of Eugene can pass an ordinance making them for 100 days in jail and a $500 fine if a child is caught smoking in public. Now, you have made a policy determination here, and I think the proper one, which will be frustrated or can be frustrated all over the state by parochial local interests who don't take the big view of criminal law. That's the point, I suppose,
but
by an illustration of something you've just done.
I didn't realize that there was that way out of that other situation. Announcing the arrival of Mr. Chandler.
I couldn't believe this report in the last 2 days to handle all these lawyers and judges.
I'm glad you got here. I was having a hard time.
If you're alone, we're in trouble.
I'm late.
Are we ready for the question?
What is the motion?
What is the motion, Mr. Chairman?
I would move that in section 2, under the definition of crime, that we define a crime as only an offense created by the state for which sentence of imprisonment is not paid.
That is your motion?
Well, actually, his motion was under
section
2.
Chairman, I'd like to ask a question. We passed this. Does this mean... Well, it means that the city ordinances put on a voter jail sentence for any violation of any city ordinance.
No, I don't think that would be the effect of that.
Motion.
Oh, I see. Well, the way we define an offense is not going to limit the cities whether they can impose a jail sentence.
What they do to a crime, a full-blown crime. But since imprisonment is authorized, the Constitution requires that they have rights.
That's right. The Constitution calls for crime criminal law.
Well, it requires criminal procedure.
Would they be entitled to their constitutional protections if they're not classified as a crime?
They're not. The requirements for procedural due process.
If imprisonment is authorized.
If imprisonment is authorized, that's where it lies. So. George's suggestion that if we adopt this, there's nothing to prevent the city of Eugene from passing an ordinance tomorrow. There's certainly nothing to prevent it from doing it now. It's just a question of whether it's called an ordinance or an offense.
Well, let me ask you this. In the event that the cities wish to impose a sanction on a course of conduct which they feel requires a jail sentence, then if they want that, will it require the intervention of the district attorney?
No, city attorneys.
If we change this?
No.
You're sure of that?
No, I don't think it would do that. No. I mean, if you change this, you're where you are right now.
I'll tell you what.
As far as what the DA is going to do.
If you change it and you let the cities create crimes, and the cities are going to be coming in for money from the state to pay the city attorneys because they're prosecuting crimes.
Well, and I'd like to suggest to George, Mr. Chairman, that it would seem to me this would have one good effect if we adopt section 1, and that is that perhaps the cities then would take a harder look at the kinds of ordinances they pass and try to limit the punishment to penalties that are fines only rather than imprisonment.
How many city council meetings have you done?
Well, not too many.
Well, I have thousands of them.
These things hardly ever enter into city considerations of questions like this.
Well, sure they
should. And the United States Supreme Court and the state of Oregon is keep seeing that the cities just can't keep going on the way that they're going.
Dave, would you restate your motion, please?
Motion is in section 2 to the statement of section, the language being interpreted correctly, but the change to be read in crime is a sense designated by the state or something. In other words, we're making the crime only of those things which are contained in the statute.
Well, couldn't we accomplish what you want to do by amending section 1 rather than section 2?
Well, I'm talking about offenses. Yeah, I suppose you could.
In what way, Don?
Well, if you take, you just stop with state in the third line, then provide any law of this state, period, out by law or ordinance of a political subdivision.
Well, what are you accomplishing, Dave?
I don't see it.
I mean, either Dave, if we're going to say that the cities cannot impose a penalty that involves it.
All we're saying is that the city can't create a crime. Letting them create whatever.
That's just the name of the game. I mean, you're talking about labels, Dave. You're not talking about any
of the powers.
What?
The facts will affect that.